Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. I just want to read this couple of sentences here for you. She had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart. She received a series of revelations in which Christ revealed his human heart, burning with love for humanity. You are loved, every one of you. You are loved more than you understand, more than you can grasp. You are loved. And we keep trying to take care of ourselves. Turn to him. He loves us so much. And she was a French visitation nun. Christ revealed his human heart to her, burning with love for humanity. Margaret Mary was the first to respond to Jesus' call for reparation, submitting to penances for the sake of her sisters in religion who refused to embrace the devotion. Many people were questioning, etc., etc., and doubting. She died in 1690, and in 1856, Pius XI extended the Feast of the Sacred Heart on the Friday after the Office of Corpus Christi to the entire church. So we know the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It's a feast that we need to honor because God was trying over and over through St. Margaret Mary, was trying over and over to tell us how much he loves us. And we keep looking for it, sometimes in the wrong places, sometimes just in earthly places. And certainly husbands and wives are meant to love one another, and they should love one another, lay down their lives for one another. But know that someone loves you even more. Someone loves your husband or wife even more than you do. You are loved. And if you simply are a single person in this world, you are loved by God himself. He loves you. His love, we can't put the words on it because there are no words. It's beyond our comprehension. But a living, flaming heart was revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And that heart is burning for you, brothers and sisters, truly for each of us. The first reading today is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. You, O man, are without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For by the standard by which you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the very same things. Isn't that true? We're pointing fingers at other people, and in reality, we are judging others at the same time. We know that the judgment of God on those who do such things is true, do you suppose? Then you who judge those engaged in such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you hold his priceless kindness, forbearance, and patience in low esteem, unaware that the kindness of God would lead you to repentance? By your stubbornness, and that's true for all of us at times, by your stubbornness and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of wrath and revelation of the just judgment of God, who will repay everyone according to his works. Eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through the perseverance in good works, but wrath and fury to those who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. Listen to that. Disobey the truth and obey wickedness. Yes, affliction and distress will come upon everyone who does evil, Jew first and then Greek, but there will be glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, Jew first and then Greek. There is no partiality with God. Brothers and sisters, again and again we make snap judgments about other people, and we're making them by what we see or by what we have heard that person say. We all make mistakes, but sometimes we draw conclusions. I don't want to associate with that person, or I don't like that person, or that person's always talking about other people. Did you then begin to pray for that person? Did you start to pray to ask God to change that person's heart? And if you're able, if you are in enough of a relationship with that person, perhaps you are in a position where you could give them counsel, that what they say and they do is judgment, and that's just not part of your life. You don't want it. You've had trouble with it too, but you don't want it anymore, whatever the case may be. I just really encourage you to read that letter to the Romans again, verses 1 to 11 of chapter 2. I encourage you to read that and ask God to give you the grace to do what you should. And if you're the one who's judging, may God give you the grace to let that in God's plans. You see something, you know something, give it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, I can't make a judgment, but I give it to you for your judgment. That's a good way to get out of the habit, because God wants to help you, and he knows you. I mean, he really knows you. My goodness, he knows all about you. You know, I remember as a child, I think I may have told you this story before, but it comes back to me so often. I was standing between my parents in the car. My dad was driving, and he wasn't saying anything, and we got to the light, and we waited for the light to change, and when the light changed, I said, now we can go. Full sentence. I hadn't talked much at all before that. My father went in the wrong direction. He was so startled that out of this little being was coming a full sentence. Now we can go. I guess I was wanting to give orders from the very beginning, brothers and sisters. But, you know, somebody could judge me on that. At three, I wasn't capable of all the devious things you can attach to things like that, all the judgments you can make. And I've had many in my heart that I've had to ask God forgiveness for. Let God give you grace and strength, because, Lord, you give back to everyone according to his works. That's what God does. Only in God is my soul at rest. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed at all. Only in God be at rest my soul. For him comes my help. From him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed. And the psalm says in conclusion, trust in him at all times, O my people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. If you've been judged and the judgment is inaccurate, turn to God first. Ask God for help in how to handle this. Ask for wisdom. Ask for insight. God will give it to you. God will give you what you need. Trust him, brothers and sisters. Don't be stubborn. Don't be impenitent, because that only leads to worse problems. Don't. Please. I want to see you all in heaven when I pray that I get there. I want to see all of you. I don't want you left behind because you were listening to my program because you were interested, but you weren't following what I suggest. And I really want to make it a strong suggestion to you. Take a look, because we all make snap judgments, quick judgments, and we have no idea what that effect may have on the person, because oftentimes we don't know certain things about them, and the judgment is at least mitigated, if not the case at all. Perhaps the person said something and then immediately asked God to forgive them. There can be all kinds of ways that my judgment does not play a part. I shouldn't even be making one. My children, yes, help them, but help them. Let it be positive, not negative. Please turn to them and say, do you realize what you just did? We don't want to do that in our house. We don't want to judge other people. We can say that this or that happened, but don't draw the conclusions. Therefore, that person should go to hell. Don't do that. Please, brothers and sisters, if you have a habit of it, ask God to give you the grace to begin to rid yourself of that habit. And he will give you the grace, because he wants so much for that to happen. He wants to inhabit your heart more than you even understand. So open your heart to him. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 42 to 46 says this, "The Lord said, 'Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. God will judge you. Do you love him? Does he know you love him? Do you try to seek him? The gospel says these you should have done without overlooking the others. We want to pay tithes. We want to do what the law asks us to do in whatever period of history we're living in. We want to do what the law tells us. But even more, do we turn to the Lord? Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk. Brothers and sisters, let's not follow the Pharisees. Let's not imitate them. Please, please, just say, Lord, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm thinking. Please help me to think about this rightly, or please help me to dismiss it, or please help me to help that person in some way. Your thoughts should be, okay, I see this, but what should I do about it? Perhaps it is to pray for the person and really pray for the person. Perhaps it is to talk to them if you know them, if you have a relationship with them. But don't just draw your own conclusions and march away righteously, because probably before the day is out, somebody's saying it about you. So we want to be in a place of forgiving. Deal with the situation. Yes, I'm not saying ignore it. Deal with it. But deal with it out of a heart of love for the other. Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too. And he said, Woe also to you, scholars of the law. You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them. See, when we judge, brothers and sisters, the Lord is saying to us, wait a moment here. Let's take a look at yourself. Because you see this, is your call to help, to change something? Not just to go up to a stranger or to somebody you don't know very well and criticize them. That's not what we're called to do. If we don't really know them, pray for them, because we might know the circumstances or see things very differently when we hear what's really going on. But sometimes we see something and we judge it. We're simply going over and saying, may I help you with that? Would be a blessing to the other person. How often does it happen that we see something, we draw our own conclusions, and we walk away? Can you reach out? Can you reach out and say, may I give you a hand there, or may I help you, or I couldn't help overhearing what you just said, I wanted to share with you something about that person that perhaps you don't know. Can you help in some way? Somebody may say, I don't know you, or I don't like you, or I don't want to talk to you. That may happen. If it does, then just take it to prayer. But oftentimes people say, oh, I never thought of it that way. And you will change the heart of another person. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do as Christians, to help others to bring their hearts as well as our own closer to him. Amen. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.